Okay, we're ready. Here we go. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Last week, we looked at walking worthy in Ephesians. And first thing we did was we looked at walk. And the first person that attributes walking with God was Enoch, right? The guy that's mentioned in chapter 11 of Hebrews. And it says he walked worthy, or he walked with God. And then we saw Noah walk with God, and it said that Abraham walked before God, and he was upright, and things like that. And we also talked about what the word walk means. And of course, obviously, it can mean physically to walk, right? But we also use it idiomatically or in a figurative way. And one way is it's how you conduct your life or how you live. Sometimes when somebody's in a precarious situation or they're doesn't look like there's any way out, we say they walk the plank, which, physically the pirates would make them walk the plank, but what does it really mean? He's doomed or he's finished or whatever. Sometimes we say we talk the talk, but he doesn't walk the talk, right? And that just means carrying out what you profess or say. But a lot of times what we're looking at here when it says walk worthy of the Lord, in the context that the first three chapters of Ephesians talk about all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ, how he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, how we've been made holy and without blame before him in love and all that kind of stuff. How he's done so much for us, made us his sons, that we're sealed with his Holy Spirit of promise. And it goes through all that, and then it says in chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore means because of all I just told you, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. So to walk worthy of the vocation of being a son and all that God has done for you and how he's blessed you. And the word beseech means to lovingly beg or lovingly implore. And it's the Greek word paraklesis, which means to call alongside. Sometimes you want to call somebody alongside you. You want to give them comfort or you want to encourage them or whatever. So you might call them alongside. You sit next to them and you talk to them quietly. So that's what beseech means, but it's lovingly implore, to ask. It's used in Romans, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Well, here it's that he beseeches us to walk worthy, to walk worthy. And the word worthy is the word axios, from which we get the English word axiomatic or an axiom. An axiom is a truth or a tenet. In Greek, the word worthy, that word means to be of equal value to. Equal value. So we're to walk of equal value to that which we've been called. Okay? Well, what's the value of being a son of God? What's the value of our calling, of our election? It's pretty great. Let's go to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. So we're going to look at an aspect of walking worthy. Second Peter. Did I say First Peter? I said Second Peter. Okay. Second Peter. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and verse 4, sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are partakers of the divine nature. The word partakers is a form of the word koinonia, meaning fellowship. We share fully in the divine nature because God put his spirit within us, right? So that's a divine nature. We have a divine nature. So, you know, divineness is not a matter of contention, is it? We have a divine nature. We have God's Holy Spirit within us. We have his incorruptible seed, which it says here. So we share fully in that. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Okay, in chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." We should follow his steps. He is our example. How did he live his life? Well, he lived his life for God, right? He said that he always did the things that pleased his Father. He always did the Father's will. He subjected his will to God's will. You know, I don't think you can find anywhere. We looked a couple of weeks ago about who we are, right? Who's God's word says we are. And one of the things we looked at is what God said, what Jesus Christ said he was when people talked to him. They said, "Where are you from?" He didn't say, "I'm from Nazareth." He said, "I'm from heaven." He was questioned about by the devil. He was questioned, you know, if you're really the Son of God. And did he back down? No. He proclaimed that he was the Son of God. He proclaimed that he was the one who was the one prophesied of in the Old Testament. You know? So his example was that he was true to his calling as the Son of God. And that he always did the Father's will. He didn't walk around and complain, "Well, you know, people aren't being fair to me." Which there were a lot of people that weren't very fair to him, were they? They accused him of all kinds of horrible things and thought that he was a liar and a blasphemer and all kinds of stuff. They accused him of all he did was heal people and help people and speak God's word, and yet they have accused him of terrible things. So what was his example? Was he a whiner? No. Did he complain about that, you know, life wasn't fair? No. He just did what God wanted him to do. You know, sometimes we do that stuff. And, you know, that's contrary to God's word when you think about it. When you complain and whine and worry, that's contrary to what God wants us to do, isn't it? God wants us to proclaim who we are and that we're victorious in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we are partakers of the divine nature. What a great thing. Let's go to Psalm 119. The word example, by the way, where it says that Jesus Christ is our example, it says it's like a writing sample for beginners, like an alphabet. That's our example. We're to keep it very simple. Jesus Christ kept it very simple, didn't he? He just did what God told him to do. He didn't make up excuses. He didn't say, "This is really complicated or difficult." He just, "Okay, this is what you want me to do, God. That's what I'm going to do." Psalm 119, 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Psalm 119, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is a light. Does that mean it's a physical light? No, but it's drawing an analogy, right? Or giving us an illustration. Do you ever try to walk in a room that's totally dark? You go into amusement parks and you go in a fun house and, you know, they try to scare you and they make you stumble and the floor moves or things brush against you. And, you know, they give you just enough light so that you can get through without killing yourself. You know, when you're in the darkness, you need light. And light dispels darkness, doesn't it? It says here that God's word is a lamp unto our feet. We don't have to stumble in our walk. And it's a light unto our path. So when we walk, we are to walk in the light of God's word. How did Jesus Christ walk? In the light of God's word, didn't he? he knew God's word. And when he was challenged, he could quote God's word and he could speak God's word. When the devil tempted him, he quoted scripture, didn't he? He said, "It is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So he walked in the light of God's word. Pretty amazing. We're to follow his steps, walk in his tracks, look at the simplicity of his walk as our example. To walk worthy, we need to walk in the light as Jesus Christ walked in the light. Let's go to John chapter 8, the Gospel of John. You know, we can choose. We have enough of God's word, or we should have enough of God's word, that we can choose how we're going to live life. Yeah, life's not fair. Well, that's, you know, nowhere in the word of God does it say that life is going to be fair, does it? It says that God is a just and merciful God. God is fair. God is equitable. God is just. And what he does say is that we're going to have eternal life, and he's going to take care of what, take away all the sorrows and the inequities that we had to deal with in life. That's what he says. But does he say that life is going to be fair while we're here? No, he says we can be more than conquerors, is what he says. So whatever happens, we can overcome it. Whatever happens, we can deal with it. We can be victorious in any situation if we walk in the light of God's word. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus Christ speaking. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Well, that's a pretty great verse, isn't it? You know, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Then you are to walk in that light. And if somebody says, "Who are you?" you can say, "I am the light of the world," because you have Christ in you. Do you walk like that? Do you live your life like that? Well, why not? You have a choice. You can do it or not do it. Now, are we going to be perfect in that? Probably not. We all have our moments. We all have our days. But we can choose. We can choose to be the lights that God has called us to. We can choose to walk in the light that Jesus Christ gave us. Or we can choose to walk in darkness. Walking in darkness is not fun. It's painful. It's difficult. It's depressing. It's all kinds of stuff. God wants us to walk in light. Jesus Christ encourages us to walk in light, not to walk in darkness. You know, when you worry, is that walking in light or walking in darkness? Yeah. Worry is always contrary to God's will and God's word. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. So one of the things we have to do if we're going to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called is we are going to have to walk in light. It's not hard. It's just a matter of putting it into your brain and keeping it there. Okay, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So God's desire for us is to be filled, right? Filled. And that's plerao. What does that mean? Filled to capacity. Filled to capacity with knowledge. And that's not just, you know, superficial knowledge, but it's an understanding knowledge, a deep knowledge of his will in all wisdom. knowing what to do with it, and spiritual understanding. That's God's desire. That will help you walk in light, won't it? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So he wants us to have that knowledge, understanding, and wisdom so that we can walk worthy. And we know that walking worthy is to that vocation wherewith we are called. And then it goes on to say, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with what?
Joyfulness.
With joyfulness. You know, we could be joyful in any situation because we have eternal life. We have the hope. We have incredible promises. We just read that before, right? Great and precious promises. We have all those promises. So we can have joyfulness. There's no reason not to be joyful. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, we have that inheritance, and it's in the light of God and his word. It's pretty great. God's desires were to be filled and to walk worthy. Again, it's that word axios, you know, equal to, the value of. And our inheritance is in light. We are delivered from the power of darkness, right? It says we're delivered from the power of darkness. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of or by his dear Son. And that kingdom is a kingdom of what?
Light.
Because God is the Father of light. It says that in James chapter 1, verse 17. It says he's the Father of lights. In him is no darkness or shadow of turning. So we have been translated or transported into the kingdom of his dear Son, into the kingdom of light. We have been delivered from darkness. So if we've been delivered from darkness and you're in darkness, why are you there? You already got a free pass. You can walk out anytime you want. What a great thing. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You know, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. You know what that means? It means that the adversary, the devil, Satan, has no more dominion over us, no more authority over us whatsoever. And anytime he tries to exert that authority, he's trying to fake you out. He's trying to screw with you because he really doesn't have the authority or the power to do it. He has no dominion. Sin has no dominion over you. We have dominion in life with Christ Jesus. Death has no dominion. You know why? I mean, if the Lord tarries, we're going to fall asleep physically, right? But we're going to get up again. So death has no more dominion over you. What a great thing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, wherefore, my beloved, and again, of course, again, wherefore is therefore or because of what I just told you before. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own wholeness with reverence and respect. That means you know, go to God, believe, you know, look to his deliverance. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in you. You know, there was a great statement made once by a great man. He said, the great work of the Spirit is to direct your heart. You know, direct your heart. That's the great work of the Spirit, is to direct your heart. Well, this is the verse that tells you that. God is working in you so that you will decide to, you will will to do his good pleasure. That's what he wants us to do, his good pleasure. Jesus Christ always did the will of God, right? He always did what the Father asked him to do. He always pleased the Father. And that's, he puts his Spirit in us. He puts the Spirit of Christ in us so that we will do the Father's will, do God's good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Don't be a curmudgeon. Don't be whining and complaining. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a perverse, crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's God's desire for us. Yeah, we live in a crooked and perverse world. There's no denying that. There's no arguing that. But we live above the world, and we are to shine as lights in the world. That's what we're to do. We're not to be like everybody else. You know, you go to work, and most times if you go to work and you work in the world, everybody complains. You know, I used to love it. You go to work and people go, oh, it's Monday. Well, so what? It's Monday. You got to start somewhere. Would you rather start on Tuesday? Then you'd complain about Tuesday. Right? You got to start somewhere. What's wrong with Monday? At least you woke up. You're there. You got a job. Might as well be happy about it. What would you do if you weren't there on Monday? Sleep in? Nothing wrong with Monday. We live in a crooked and perverse world. People are nuts. We saw that this week. People are nuts. But we don't have to partake. We don't have to be part of that. We can shine as lights in the world, and we can have a great positive effect on the people around us. We can. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, and that's how we shine as lights. We hold forth the word of light, which is the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know, because we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. What a great thing. Let's go to 1 John. You know, Jesus Christ, we have Christ in us. Jesus Christ was the light of the world. That's why we can shine as lights. And we have the light of God's word to speak forth. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Our fellowship is with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. We share fully. God has given us everything that we can possibly need spiritually. Spiritually, we're perfect. Okay, physically, we lack a little bit here and there. Some more than others, I guess. But you know what? That's going to change, isn't it? And when we get to the gathering, we're all going to be perfect. Physically as well as spiritually as well as everything else. We share fully. We have fellowship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You know, reflect on that fellowship that you have with God. In the Old Testament, they didn't have that fellowship with God. They didn't have that sharefulling. They didn't have the assurances that we have. Look at how Abraham walked and David walked and all those guys with the joy they walked just because they knew God. But they didn't have the assurance that we had, did they? They couldn't speak in tongues at any moment to remember that they were perfect, that they were born again, that they had Christ in them, that they had all the promises that God made. They didn't even have, a lot of them didn't even have a written word. So they couldn't go find a promise when they needed help. You know, they had to remember what God had told them at different times. So that our joy may be full. Well, our joy should be full because We have all those things. We have all those promises. We have all those assurances. We have Holy Spirit. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And we're to walk in that light. Let's go to chapter 2. Oh, keep going. We're going to keep reading. Sorry. Okay. And then, so God is light. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. So does God cause somebody to be sick?
Yeah,
no. Does God kill people?
No.
Does God cause disease? No. God doesn't do that stuff. There's no darkness in him at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, if you're walking in darkness, you're not in fellowship. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So it says we're to walk in light even as he is in the light. What a great thing. Let's go to chapter 2 now. Verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. It says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked, which we read before. Jesus Christ, he's to be our example of walking. And he said, I am the light, right? And we are to walk in that light that he walked in. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the world which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. There's no reason for anybody that's born again to walk in darkness. None. And you don't have to allow that darkness in there, because you can shine the light of God's love and God's word in your life. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is no occasion for stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written, and so on and so forth. It keeps going. Then it says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then you're not walking in the light of God's love. You know, we're not to love the things of the world. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means to put them ahead of God. You know, you need clothing, you need food, you need shelter, you need a car, you need things. And God knows that, doesn't he? And he says he'll supply our needs. He tells us to work. It says it's good to work. He tells us lots of things. But we're not to put anything of those things of the world before him. How simple is that? Very simple. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. You know, we're going to abide forever, aren't we? But, you know, along the way, we might as well be in the light, because that's where the joy is. That's where the greatness of living life is. That's the greatness of walking with God, walking in the light as Jesus Christ walked in the light. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6. 2 Corinthians verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know what unequally yoked means? You know, in the Old Testament, God in the law said, you're not to put an ox and an ass in the same yoke. Lots of reasons. One is, you know, they were supposed to see the purity of God's word in their life. They weren't to mix with the unbelievers and the God rejectors. But, you know, if you had an ox and an ass, they may not plow a straight line. They would, you know, one would be stronger than the other and have a tendency to, you know, be a battle all the time. So he says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Yeah, we're going to deal with unbelievers, aren't we? We're going to have to maybe talk with them, work with them, deal with them. But are you to be unequally yoked? No. I always told my kids, be leaders, don't be followers. You know, and hopefully they would lead people towards a godly way of thinking, a godly way of doing, rather than being led by ungodly things. Did it always work? No, but I put it in their brain. As they get older, they see it more and more and more. That's the way we are to be. We're not to be followers. We're to be leaders. You know, we lead to the light of God's word. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? There's no fellowship with unrighteousness. There's none. You can't. Do you want to share fully in unrighteousness? It's kind of yucky. And what communion hath light with darkness? And the word communion is the same word fellowship. You know, what full sharing has light with darkness? Light dispels darkness, right? It dispels it. And what concord, what agreement hath Christ with Belial, with the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. We as a group, we are the temple of God, of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that's God's desire. He wants us to walk in his light, and he wants to walk with us. He wants to be our God. Let's go to 1 Peter again. First Peter. Chapter 2. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean weird. It means a treasure. A treasure. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. You know, this is written to specifically to Hebrews that were born again. But we were called into that marvelous light too, weren't we? We were called out of that darkness into his marvelous light. Marvelous. It's just marvelous. Wonderful. His divine light is a wonderful light. It's a marvelous light. It's not just any old light. It's marvelous. You know, it says in the end times in Revelation, when God makes a new heaven and earth, there's not even going to be a need for the sun anymore. That's kind of cool to think about. God's going to be the source of light. Wow. It's a marvelous light. And he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why would you want to be in the darkness? You know, why would you want to live in the darkness? It's just not a good place to be. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's another great verse. It says here, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Speaking of the written word of God. And he's referring to, the context is, he's talking about, God bless you. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, where Jesus Christ went up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured, he was transformed, and the light shone above him, and God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, right? And that was a marvelous, great incredible experience for those guys. But here Peter's writing, and he's writing about that, and he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. The word of God, the written word of God, is even greater than that experience. Because that experience comes and goes, and it could fade in your mind. You ever have an experience? My wife and I sometimes have little discussions or disagreements about something that happened 20 years ago. And I'll say, well, it happened this way. And she'll say, no, it didn't. It happened this way. And she's usually right. But sometimes I'm convinced, I remember it a certain way. You ever have that happen?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure, because your memory fades. And you don't remember things like you should. But the Word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. So we may have great experiences. We may have great things happen. You may see miracles and signs and wonders. But the Word of God is a more sure word of prophecy, a more sure word of God's revelation to us. And that's why when you get revelation, it has to be in accordance and alignment and harmony with God's word. We also have a more sure of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. God's word shines in a dark place. We live in a dark place, the earth, the world. It is a corrupt and wicked place. It's dark, but God's light shines in that dark place and gives us light until the day dawn, when Christ comes back, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's what we have to look forward to. There won't be a need for a physical sun anymore, because the light of God will be the light that we live by. Pretty amazing. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, we just don't have to allow the darkness in our lives. You know, you ever have a period of time where you just have a dark cloud hanging in your mind?
Yes.
You know, you just get rid of it. God has given you the authority, the ability, the strength, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge to get rid of it. It's called renewing your mind. It's called renewing your mind to God's word, to the light. Shine the light on the darkness, and it will dispel. Chapter 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. You're not in darkness. God declares that. So if you say you're in darkness, who's lying? You or God? You are. Because God says, you are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be so. It doesn't mean that you don't go to sleep at night, because, you know, you need sleep. But it means, you know, spiritually you're awake. You're aware of what's going on. You stay sharp spiritually. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken, or be drunken, or drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's given us salvation. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. So this is the introduction. Now we're going to get into the real teaching. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know, that's how we get deceived, isn't it? By the words of man. By the lust of the flesh. In the five senses is where we get deceived. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Again, partakers, you know, sharing fully with them. For ye were sometimes darkness. You know, in the past you were darkness. But, in contrast, now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, and this comes after chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Well, one of the ways that we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called is that we walk in light. We shine the light in our lives, the light of God's word, and we keep it there. We keep that darkness out. Walk as children of light. For the fruit, and the word spirit there is not supposed to be in there. It should be the fruit of light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Walk in light. Then it goes on to say, and have no fellowship. Don't share fully with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Not only are we not supposed to have any fellowship with the works of darkness, but we are to reprove them. How do we reprove them? With the light of God's word. And sometimes you have to do that to yourself. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, when you do things in secret, you usually do it in the darkness, don't you? You know, sometimes literally and sometimes figuratively. Where do most robberies and break-ins of houses occur? At night, in the dark, right? When do most muggings take place? In the night. You know, when does a lot